If there are at least two players, a game exists. And there are two types of games, finite games and infinite games. Which are you playing?
If you say the real life fills up your days and you don't have time to play, midlife is the best time to start a new role-playing phase. And you need a rescue. Jay's coming at you with a rescue. A role-play rescue. Jay's gonna help my friend. Let's sit down to game again. Rescue!
My name is Che Webster, and this is Roleplay Rescue. Hello, rescuers. Welcome back for the first Saturday episode of Season 5. Today, I wanted to share some newly forming thoughts I've been having, inspired by a couple of different sources, one of which sits very much outside of the RPG gaming sphere. Because all of life is connected, I find that, very often, my thoughts click when I read, see, or hear someone else's ideas, and it really doesn't matter where that inspiration comes from. Today, I want to talk about the infinite game, but first of all, let's hear some call-ins. This is Season 5, Episode 1.
Hey Chase, Spencer here from Keep Off the Borderlands. Just listen to your Session 0 for the new Season 5. And that I just wanted to tell you that your reinvigoration, the excitement really came through there. And I had no idea you were so close to throwing in the towel towards the end of the last season. I mean, you're such a consummate professional that, you know, I knew you were going for a bit of a rough patch, but to actually be considering to discontinue the podcast, well, that would have been a terrible shame. I'm so glad that you're coming back, and I'm really excited about what the new season has in store. So, yeah, look forward to the next episode. Take care, mate.
Hey, Che, this is Jason from Nerds RPG Variety Cast. Great episode. I'm excited for the new season. I'm excited in the new direction you're going in. It sounds great. I look forward to some of the innovations you're doing. And TJ, knock your new theme out of the park. I mean, it's exciting. So I'm looking forward to it, man. So game on.
Hello, Che. Paul here. Just wanted to say it was nice to get the Season 5 episode. Thought I would have to wait till the end of October. I was going to leave you a message before just to say how much I've enjoyed your podcasts. I've only been listening back since about episode 412, I think. But I've really enjoyed them. And, yeah, they've often made me think about the way I play. I tend to do solo RPG because it's difficult to get a group. And I use the Mythic system. But I do flip from one to another. So I've decided recently that I am going to just concentrate on Mythic. I'm still interested in other systems because it's always nice to find out new ideas. So, yeah, anyway, time to go. All the best.
Wow, guys, what can I say? Thank you. Kind words indeed. Spencer, a.k.a. Three Thrall from Keep Off the Borderlands, Jason Connolly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast, and, of course, Paul Stoneman, one of our regular callers and listeners. Thanks to all of you guys for taking the time to call in and give a positive message. I really, 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 really appreciate it. It makes my day to get these call-ins, and it's great to hear positives. Glad Jason likes the theme. Glad Paul's kind of glad I'm back at the mic. And yeah, Spencer, honestly, I got close, but I'm back. All right. Now, I've got a call-in coming up next. This one's from Shandy Andy of Unguarded Treasure Podcast. And it's on an episode from Season 4. So let's hear what Shandy Andy has to say.
Shay, Shandy Andy here. First, I apologise in advance if my voice is a bit gravelly. As I think you know, I'm off work at the moment. But that was a great chance for me to catch up on a podcast meaning to listen to for a long time. And that was the Bonus 10, Arduin with Gabriel. Loved it, mate. I'm really glad you took the opportunity, you know, you decided to stick with it, do the editing and put it out there. I found it fascinating, and I wish I'd listened to it a lot earlier now, but at sort of an hour and a half, it was problematic finding that type of time. So being in bed for a day has allowed me to do that. A lot of interesting stuff in there. Certainly, the being able to play monster characters was quite interesting, because Dragon Quest, my first ever role-playing game, allowed you to do that to some extent as well. So I quite like the ideas that it was obvious it allowed you to do that. And the other point that was made, which I found quite interesting, was with the hit points and the fact that I know a lot of people, run D&D down for all these massive hit points. I mean, personally, I don't have a problem with it, because I can quite easily take them as being luck or fatigue points or that. But the fact that the Arduin had much more limited hit points. And of course, with Arneson Month at the moment, that made me think back to Dave Arneson's original take on it. And I'm sure you're aware, he had low hit points as well. And it was, as you went up in level, it was actually the armour class that came down, which got better, which was the difference. So there were some interesting comparisons there, I thought. But terrific episode. Thanks so much for putting it out, Shay.
Thank you, Andy. It's really great to hear from you. And it's really good to hear that you enjoyed the Arduin episode with Gabriel Rourke, which comes from the end of season 4. Did it as a bonus because, it's so long. Gabe and I got chatting for a good 2 hours or so and edited down. Kind of comes in a little bit under that. But, I enjoyed it. We did it really because I wanted to talk about Arduin, and I kind of had a feeling that Gabriel was up for it. And I was right. This is the benefit of using social media, I suppose. And I think, as I said before in the last episode, episode 500, I love talking to people about their hobby. And I think a lot of us love listening to people talk about their hobby. And so that makes it have value. I appreciate, however, that a 2-hour episode is a challenge for most people, which is why I'm aiming for 30 minutes, give or take 5 minutes, for my episodes most of the time. Okay, I will say this, though. I've got some potential interviews coming up, so could be some more. Thanks, Andy. Brilliant to hear from you. Game on.
Hello, Jay. Paul here again. Just wanted to elaborate on why I use Mythic. Well, as you say, motivation. When I'm not as motivated, I like Mythic because it's easy to begin the game. You can think of a simple scenario, and using the Mythic system, it just builds it up into a story of twists and turns. It'll run your combat, it'll create locations, it'll create worlds and characters and everything, really. And as a solo RPG player, it just works for me so well. Now, I have decided to kind of learn more and more about Mythic, because if you know how to run a system, you tend to just want to pick it up because you don't have to learn anything. So for me, Mythic works. All the best.
Paul Stoneman again. Thank you, Paul. And you know what? You're one of the inspirations for today's episode, because listening to that call in reminded me of two things. First of all, it reminded me of the value of choosing a game and sticking to it. And I know that for some people that's a strange concept, because we are busily buying, collecting and learning and playing all manner of games. But as you probably realise, I started to change my mind about that a few months ago. And whilst we play different games, Mythic for me is a brilliant tool in my own solo arsenal, and I definitely would recommend it along with Paul. But there's a second thing that popped into mind listening to Paul's call in, and that was this idea that it provides everything he needs. That one game engine is enough for him to play. And I think that that is the seed behind today's major episode. So I wanted to thank Paul for calling in, and I wanted to share his thoughts with you guys. And I wanted to use that as a segue in to today's main topic, which is, well, The Infinite Game. In episode 500, the first of this new season, and I guess what was the trailer, really, in episode 500, I mentioned the influence of Simon Sinek on my life. I shared my experience with Start With Why, and shared my personal why, to create communities of discovery in which everyone can feel accepted. On the back of that episode, I realised that Simon had written a new book, and, well, me being me, I hopped onto Amazon and I ordered a copy. The book is called The Infinite Game, and I want to read an extract from chapter one because, well, it's an extract that got me thinking. Quote, "If there are at least two players, a game exists, and there are two kinds of games, finite games and infinite games. Finite games are played by known players. They have fixed rules. And there is an agreed-upon objective that, when reached, ends the game. Football, for example, is a finite game. The players all wear uniforms and are easily identifiable. There is a set of rules, and the referees are there to enforce those rules. All the players have agreed to play by those rules, and they accept penalties when they break the rules. Everyone agrees that whichever team has scored more points by the end of the set time period will be declared the winner. The game will end and everyone will go home. In finite games, there is always a beginning, a middle, and an end. Infinite games, in contrast, are played by known and unknown players. There are no exact or agreed-upon rules, although there may be conventions or laws that govern how the players conduct themselves within those broad boundaries. The players can operate however they want. And if they choose to break with convention, they can. The manner in which each player chooses to play is entirely up to them. And they can change how they play the game at any time, for any reason. Infinite games have infinite time horizons. And because there is no finish line, no practical end to the game, there is no such thing as winning an infinite game. In an infinite game, the primary objective is to keep playing, to perpetuate the game." End quote. When I read those words, my mind instantly jumped to role-playing games, although, to be honest, that isn't exactly a big jump considering how obsessed I am with the concept of a role-playing game. But anyway, Simon seems to be expressing something that, for me, has been niggling away at my insides for a goodly long while now. In short, I feel that role-playing games have been squeezed into the form of a finite game when, originally, they were conceived of as an infinite game. In other words, I realise that the reason I feel uncomfortable with the proliferation of game rules, off-the-peg worlds and one-shot games is that these tend to point towards treating the role-playing medium as a finite game, not much more than a glorified board or war game. For me, role-playing games have always represented a wider potential, a chance to step into a fantastic world of adventure and intrigue, a world that has no bounds, no end point, and in which the manner that the player chooses to play is up to them. I realise that to some this might seem either obtuse or perhaps confusing, but I invite you to stay with the question. Are you running a finite game or an infinite game? And I wonder if there might be some value in seeking to create the latter. When I backed the Kickstarter for the Secrets of Blackmore documentary, I expected that I'd receive an insight into Dave Arneson's collaboration with Gary Gygax to create the original rules of Dungeons & Dragons, the world's first published role-playing game. Back then, of course, the term role-playing game didn't find common expression. Nobody had words to describe the new game. But anyway, watching the documentary back in an early draft last Christmas and then again with the release of the final version early in the summer, I was struck by something completely different. It was the story of Wesley's Braunstein games and Arneson's approach to playing in them that was the first big nudge towards a new way of thinking about role-playing games, well, at least for me. I got the distinct impression that Wesley's try-anything approach to being a referee led to Arneson and others adopting a very bold and imaginative approach to play. In those early games, however, the game was still very much finite. It had clear objectives and was time-bound in the way that war games, board games, and I guess most other hobby games are. At the end of the allotted time, the game ended. Arneson was hungry for more, even though Wesley felt that the games were a failure. The next nudge in my psyche came as Arneson moved towards creating Blackmoor itself. Here was a war games campaign, a game aiming to last over a long period of time, that appeared to have no defined endpoint. Players met, took on the roles of characters within a fictional fantasy world, and proceeded to work towards some goals. Initially, these goals appear to have been issued to the players in the manner in which Wesley had done with Braunstein, a series of victory conditions, objectives that the players were expected to work towards attaining. In the case of Blackmoor, however, this evolved from player versus player with a referee adjudicating towards a new format in which the players cooperated against challenges created by the referee. Now, notwithstanding that I have read John Peterson's excellent treatise on the early days of the role-playing game, Playing the World, my impression has long been that the first fantasy campaigns were all largely open-ended. Original Dungeons & Dragons encourages the referee to create at least three levels of mazy tunnels to form the quintessential dungeon, and from there the players form a party to tackle the challenges within. To me, reading early issues of the Alarums and Excursions fanzine, anyway, the norm for a new referee was to create their own dungeon and allow players to explore it. In fact, the evidence would suggest that in those days, players brought their characters from one referee's dungeon to another referee's. And as games expanded to explore the wildernesses and the worlds that surrounded those early dungeons, players would port between many worlds. This is perhaps the origin of Hargrave's own creation of Arduin, a world designed to welcome dozens of players over a long period of continuous play, and in which itself has portals to the whole multiverse of other worlds. Thus, I suppose what I'm suggesting is that the original way in which this game was played was as an infinite game, played by both known and unknown players, no exact or agreed upon rules, though there were conventions and laws that governed how players could conduct themselves within the broad boundaries suggested by original Dungeons & Dragons. The manner in which each player chooses to play is entirely up to them, and they can change how they play at any time, for any reason. Flash forward to today. Although I'm about to suggest a contrast, please remember, how each of us chooses to play our games is up to us, and I am not trying to suggest any one true way. I want to accept you as player or referee as you are. That said, I do see a contrast. Last weekend I played in a one-shot game run by the excellent Jason Connolly. We had a grand old time and I had a lot of fun, but this was a finite game, played by known players with fixed rules. We used Barbarians of Lemuria, rules as written. We had a clear goal given to us by the referee, and once we had achieved that goal, we all packed up and I went to bed. As with all finite games, it had a beginning, middle, and an end. And there was nothing wrong with all of that. Nothing at all. What am I saying? I guess I'm expressing the feeling and view that I'd rather play in an infinite role-playing game. A game with no defined ending, in which I, as a player or referee, can participate in whatever way I choose within that broadly defined set of rules. For me, this realisation that arose from reading the first few pages of Synec's latest book has helped me to express the feeling and view that I'd rather not play in one-shot games, or short campaigns, and certainly not in narratively designed games with a clear beginning, middle, end, and, you know, therefore, clear end point. I think at heart I am seeking the game that hews closer to the original spirit of that first fantasy campaign. I'm seeking the infinite game. I promised that each Roleplay Rescue episode would be focused not on me, but on you, the listener. Today I've shared a particular line of thought that has been bubbling around my head for many months. It originally got expressed back in the earlier episodes when I started asking what it might be like to choose just one game system. And then I expressed the desire to create and develop just one world, or in my case, one universe of play. But having indulged in sharing my thoughts, for better or for worse, what can I offer you, the listener? What's my point? I guess I'm asking you to consider the degree to which you are trying to fit the conception of the role-playing game as an infinite game into the mould of a finite game. Many friends seem to be enamoured with role-playing using lots of different game systems in a variety of different fantastic worlds and realms, and I'm asking, would the game be more rewarding if we conceived of it as being one continuous infinite game? For me, it feels like we settled for a series of bounded experiences with defined rules, with hard expectations and limits on both who plays and for how long. And I'm seeking a return to the unbounded, less defined, looser, play-how-you-want spirit of the early days. Of course, this is, for me, a new series of thoughts. It's not terribly coherent, and it certainly would be probably best expressed in a more clear fashion, but well, it's a direction in which I'd like to explore, and I guess I'm asking you to consider walking that road with me. I could do with some companions along the way, let's put it that way. Now, here's a parting quotation from Sinek's book, The Infinite Game. Quote, "In a finite game, the game ends when its time is up and the players live on to play another day. Unless it was a duel, of course. In an infinite game, it's the opposite. It is the game that lives on and it is the players whose time runs out. Because there is no such thing as winning or losing in an infinite game, the players simply drop out of the game when they run out of the will and resources to keep playing." End quote. I can't help but see the parallels with role-playing games. Right then, I need a favour. This podcast is aimed squarely at the ex-gamer who wants to find a route back to the gaming table. And I need you to help me get it to the right ears. If you are an ex-gamer trying to find a way back, I really hope that I can help you to see the possibilities. But here's the thing. Can any of you help recommend Roleplay Rescue to your friends? I don't really know what that might look like, to be honest. But if you know someone who's a lost gamer, perhaps you could ask them if they've heard of the show. I mean, basically, it's like this. We need to get the show to the ears of the Lost X gamers. And I know many of my listeners are committed gamers, and some of you are podcasters in your own right. So would it be okay to shoot someone a link to your favourite episode of Roleplay Rescue? I guess I'm asking for you guys to help me widen the reach. I need your help to call people back to the gaming table. And wouldn't that mean more players for everyone to enjoy gaming with? I hope you don't mind me asking. But thanks for your support. That's about it for this episode. Not sure how useful that is, but I put it out there nonetheless. Honestly, these thoughts bubble up from my unconscious mind and they kind of demand to be expressed, so thanks for listening. Thank you to all of today's callers, Spencer, aka Three Thrall, Jason Connolly, Paul Stoneman, and Shandy Andy. I really do appreciate you taking the time to click the Anchor message link in the show notes or grab the Anchor app and press the message button. Your thoughts both brighten my day and allow me to share new ideas and perspectives with the other listeners. So thank you to everyone who's brave enough to put their words out into the podosphere. As ever, thanks are also due to the loyal Roleplay Rescue patrons who support the show through patreon.com/rpgrescue. You may be few, but you make all the difference to me as a creator. Thank you. Finally, thanks go to you, the listener, for taking half an hour or so out of your day to listen to me rambling. My name is Che Webster. This is Roleplay Rescue. Game on.
Hey, Che. Wanted to say thank you for all your kind of supportive messages recently. Funny of you to be jealous about Purple Worm. But talk about jealousy. Man, your TJ theme is fantastic. But hey, you know, there's a lot of those about. But your TJ outro, that rocks. He's pulled out all the stops. Amazing, amazing stuff. I'm jealous of that.